Boom, it's Fat to Fit or Else. Welcome to it. New week. It's a short week. Most likely going to be a one podcast week this week with the holiday coming up, especially since I am going on vacation with my family towards the end of the week. We are on 4th of July week. Happy 4th of July, America. That is all good. But with the extra day, I took an extra day off of work, so I got a 4-day weekend instead of a 3-day weekend, and we're going to do some stuff. So I probably won't do a show for Friday. Heads up on that. Another heads up to the Mean Spira lady. I just am kicking her butt so bad because I know the challenge is her way of trying to torture me. And I'm killing it. I'm killing it on the keto. I'm on fire with the keto. And knowing that I started the keto really fat, you guys know this. If you're a yo-yo dieter like me your whole life and go up and down and go on diets and get off diets, on diets, off diets, eat like crap, don't eat like crap, and play the game that all of us do, you know when you're at your fattest and you finally say, okay, Fatty McFat Fat, it is time for you to go for it, and you dive just gung-ho into a workout plan or a diet or whatever it is. You lose a lot of weight really fast. So I am kicking butt. I can see it in the mirror. That's how I know when I look at myself just all sexy and stuff. I'm going to tell you a real embarrassing story. And it's kind of funny. All right. You guys know I live in an apartment now with my family. And apartment's on right on the corner of a busy street and a what I call a cutoff street to get around the busy street. So it's very busy at the intersection where my apartment is. And you cannot. There's a ton of homeless around here because we're very near the VA hospital in West LA. And if you tried to have an Amazon package delivered, you would never get it. It would end up on your porch, and the porch is within 4 feet. We have a fence around it because it was so bad of people just walking into the property. There's a fence around it, but it's just a little 3-foot fence, and if someone saw a Amazon package on the porch, they would just open it and take it. It would happen in 2 seconds. I can't keep people off the property digging in the trash, let alone, and we've talked about that, the entitlement of these effing trash diggers around here. It's crazy. I can't believe a guy argued with me last. I still can't believe that. I'm like, hey, do you mind getting out of my trash? Why? Well, you're trespassing, and I effing told you so. That's why. Dude, calm down. I'm just getting some stuff. Yeah, get the F out of my trash, because the reason we're really hung up on, and I get it, if someone's just trying to get recycling, God bless them. They're trying to help themselves, better themselves. Just so you know, if you aren't aware of this, they people dig through trash and get your mail and things like that and steal your identity. That's another thing. But people around here will go into your trash and they'll just throw trash on the ground. So I'll come home and our driveway will be covered in trash because someone's dug through the trash looking for recyclables and just throwing crap on the ground. They have no respect for the trash cans they dig in or the residents, and they make a mess, and I don't have time to pick up a mess, especially when every other asshole in this neighborhood throws their dog shit bags into my trash can because I'm on the corner, like I said, and it's like, oh, there's a trash can. I'll throw my dog shit bag in here, and then the diggers take the dog shit bags out, throw it on the ground. It's a serious problem. So that being said, I can't control my trash cans. I damn sure am not getting an Amazon effing package delivered to my house. So I keep my Amazon's going to Downey, which is where my parents are. And you know what? My parents don't go anywhere. One of them goes somewhere a lot, and the other one stays home. And Ice is there, and Ice is an assassin. If you try to get near that porch, Ice is going to try to rip the door down to kill you. And I love that. So my packages are safe in Downey, and until I move back to my house in Palisades, knock on wood, I'm going to stay there. So this is where it gets personal and embarrassing. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. I am a effing European white man. Shocker, right? I'm English, Irish, Scottish. My last name is actually Scottish. But that's, if you people in my family who have done the DNA thing, that's like 90 something percent of my DNA is English, Scottish, Irish. So we're big-ass hairy mofos is what we are. We're big-ass hairy white men who come from somewhere cold, apparently, because I'm pretty sure either my ancestors come from a cold land where people were effing hairy, or someone in my family banged Sasquatch. I'm not sure which one, but I'm a hairy-ass mofo. I'm a giant hairy man. And I know I can always look at your beard as a dude and tell if you're a hairy dude or not. There's dudes that have, like, gaps in their beard, like the weird facial hair doesn't grow on their beard. Like, dude, I'm a damn yeti at best. So, that being said, I need to remove body hair. I have body hair all over my body. And the older I get, the worse it gets. That's the crazy thing. Just young bucks who are maybe laughing at me right now, if you're in an Anglo like myself, who's big and hairy and coming from the cold tundra somewhere, well, the older you get, the hair in your head falls out, and then it's like seedlings into your shoulders and your ears and everywhere else. It's like little seeds that start growing. Hair starts growing places you never, you're like, why the F is hair growing there? What's going on? Well, that being said, I have got hair, patches of hair on my back and on my shoulders, and it's disgusting. It's gross. And I've always had different things, but I don't want to go to, I'm not some metrosexual dude. I don't want to go get waxed. And I've done that before on the radio, and it was fun, and everyone laughs because it hurts like hell. I can't put Nair on my back. My wife is as grossed out by my big hairiness as anyone, so she's not doing that. So I didn't really have a way to get to the hair, all of the hair on my back. I could shave my shoulders, basically, but I couldn't get to my back. Well, I found this thing, and if you're a hairy person or you got a hairy dude in your life that you want to rid the body hair, my thing fell on my computer. I have the box in my hand right here. It's called the Bro Shaver 3.0. It is expensive as hell. I got it on Amazon for like $50. But I had one in the Palisades, and it burned in the fire. So since the fire, I have been unwilling to manscape, if you will, to the right abilities, because I haven't had my Bro Shaver. So I ordered another one. I'm like, I'm getting just like straight up Yeti. I'm going to start going, that's what I feel like. That's how I'm going to start communicating. So instead of that, I order a new Bro Shaver. A little embarrassing. Yeah, I'm going to tell people I got a hairy back and hairy shoulders. It's disgusting. People are going to look at me not like I'm the sexy beast that I am. They're going to look at me like, this dude's a hairy, gross mess. Well, I order the Bro Shaver. Thinking on Amazon, it's going to come. I would say 99.5% of packages you get from Amazon come in either an Amazon envelope or one of those white plastic Amazon bags, and then the stickers on it, and it comes in the mail. Well, I walk into my parents' house, and sitting on the table in the dining room is a box, which is Bro Shaver 3.0. I'm looking at it right now. And I'm like, who opened my mail? And my parents are like, we didn't open your mail. That damn thing was sitting on the porch when we got up this morning. What the F is that? And they're laughing at me. And I'm like, well, it is my shaver. And it's kind of, I would say that's a pretty personal issue. Like, and I look at the box, and on the back of the box is the Amazon sticker. They just took the box off the shelf, wherever it was, and it was, it's such a flimsy box, too, that it the bottom was open. Nothing's missing out of the package, but Amazon doesn't treat things that great. And it seriously is a Bro Shaver. It shows a dude with a hairy back shaving his back with this long-handled razor. It's like a giant, it's like a foot and a half long razor that you'd shave your face with, but you can get to your back with it. And pretty embarrassing. And there it is sitting on my parents' table. And I'm like, hey, great. Thanks, Amazon. What would happen if you ordered, like, sex toys on there? Yeah, my parents would be like, hey, what's this triple ripple butt plug with all-day harness? I'd be like, oh, yeah, you're not supposed to see that. I ordered that. That's for my freaky-deaky things at home. I'm like, what the hell? Amazon totally screwed me. Completely and totally screwed me. Oh, man. For the weekend, I had an interesting weekend. I ended up having to take Ice to the vet on Friday because he had hurt... I don't know when he hurt himself, to be honest with you. The Friday before, so not this last Friday, but the Friday before that, I was in Downey, as I always am, and I went to take Ice on a walk, and he... You know, your dog will get tangled up in the leash, and you're like, oh, you dummy, and you sit, and then you make him sit, and then you untangle him. Well, I had him sit, and I untangled it, and then I looked down, and I happened to notice he had, like, a swollen toe on his front left paw, and it had a big bump on it, and the bump was bloody. And I'm like, oh, no, buddy, what happened? And I grabbed it, and he yelped, which he never does because he's Superman, and then he bit me. And you're like, wait a minute, your dog bit you? Yeah, no, I still have to bite you. Ice is a biter. And I've gotten to where Sarge would have never... I could have hit Sarge in the head with a sledgehammer, and he would not have bit. There's nothing I could have ever done to make Sarge bite me. It just would have never happened. But Ice growls and bites. That's what he does. But I've noticed, like, if you try to take a bone from him, he's going to bite you, like, really bite you. This was more of a, hey, stop that. That's all it was. He didn't even come close to breaking the skin, and it didn't even leave a bump or a welt. It was more him putting his mouth on me real quick to say, stop that, it hurts. And I speak Ice now. So I'm like, oh, damn. And then after that, we walked to the park. He played fetch with his ball as much as he does. He walked all the way home. I came back on Tuesday. I walked him again, and he's been fine. And then my parents called me on Thursday night, and I had already recorded the podcast, and they said, you got to take your dog to the vet. He's limping really bad. He can't put any weight on his front left paw. And I'm like, well, that was hurt last week. So apparently he got something in his paw. You can't tell, because I'm not kidding. If you try to touch it, he'll kill you. And he had to go to the vet. And it's now obviously infected because it's still swollen. It was swollen even when I saw it the Friday before, but something kicked in. And remember, he had just been sick and on antibiotics, so those may have helped him through this. We don't know. And there's a chance this is way worse than what we've already discovered. So I take Ice into the vet, and I tell them, this dog is a dick. He will bite me, which means he'll kill you. And they said, okay, muzzle him. And they only had to give him two shots and antibiotics. They say they think it was a flesh wound, so apparently we think it probably happened in my parents' backyard. My dad has like a shop back there, and he's always tinkering, making something out of wood or metal or building a fence or shit. He's always doing something, my dad. So we thought maybe he stepped on a nail or something that we didn't know was back there. We don't know. The vet thinks it's a flesh wound. But they were like, let's give him these shots. One's a steroid for the swelling, and then we'll get him on antibiotics. And then they also gave him an allergy shot because he's been itching a lot lately. That mofo, I was holding him with the pinch collar on, fully torqued, with a muzzle on, and he got the muzzle off and tried to bite the doctor. It was great. I had him, though. That's the thing. I'm stronger than him still, even though he's very strong. And he did not get to bite the doctor. We got the muzzle back on him. And then they gave him the shots, and it was deja vu of him going after the dude. And in fact, when the guy stuck the needle in, Ice freaked out so bad, he ended up jabbing him really bad, and he ended up bleeding everywhere from the shots, one of the shots. And then the other shot, he's a beast. So that was my Friday. And by the way, gotta love those vet bills. Man, it's way more expensive to bring a dog to the doctor than it is a human. Way more. Way, 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 way more. So, he's there. And that is all right. Also, I did something you would never expect from me. I know I'm fancy and sophisticated. And you guys, I see that in my emails. Stretch, you're so fancy and sophisticated. But, besides that, I played tennis with my wife and my daughter on Saturday. And by the way, just so you know, none of us play tennis. My daughter went to her grandparents' house and was in the garage and found some tennis rackets from probably my wife's childhood and said, hey, because isn't it weird how everybody, you have stuff that you don't do? Like, I had golf clubs in my house at the Palisades. I didn't really golf ever, but I had golf clubs and I had tennis rackets and I had all that. So my daughter's like, let's play tennis. And so we ended up going and playing tennis. And not very well. But it was... Here's what I like. I'm on the diet. I may as well get out and move. If I can get out and move for a good hour, I'm down with it. And that's a great thing to do. If you don't like working out or you're just trying to work out, move your body. Get out and move your body. Do something you wouldn't normally do. Go golfing, and that's a good walk. Go play some tennis or whatever. And believe me, it's a joke that I try to play because I cannot run to save my life. I have some really interesting workout stories. One I wanted to get into right out of the box that is, here's what's crazy. Science changes, and you'll get effing stories and studies, and know this before I tell you this study. People that are harmed by scientific studies will hire doctors or researchers to make a study that says the opposite, to create confusion so that they're not damaged by the news. And I can tell you, one of the things that has been preached in the health and fitness world is that seed oils are bad. Seed oils are bad for your heart, bad for everything. And they'll even say, like, I'll see fitness experts going through, oh, let's see what's in this protein bar. Oh, it's got seed oils. I'm out. Done. That's all they had to. It's not even the sugar content or anything. It's like, oh, seed oil's in there? I'm not pushing this product. So you have heard that forever and ever. So I don't know. Take with a grain of salt what I tell you right now on this study that I just found today. First time I've ever heard of anything. But in Indiana, at the University of Indiana, they did a study. And they did it with 1,900 people. That's a large sample. And they say that the higher level of basically seed oils in your body, the better you are at preventing type 2 diabetes and heart disease. Now, that's contrary and opposite of everything we've known. Is this true? I don't know. This article says it. And they say what happens when you take those seed oils, there's a thing called linoleic acid, which is found in vegetable oils, especially seed oils, soybean oil, corn oil. That's the things we're talking about. And in plant foods, it's the primary omega-6 fatty acid consumed in the diet. So seed oil, and we have heard over and over, it causes inflammation, and it is bad for your heart and bad for your overall health. And here they are saying, there has been increasing attention on seed oils, some claiming these oils promote inflammation and raise a cardiometabolic risk. That's what we've told. That's the knock on this. However, at the study in the Indiana University School of Public Health, they determined their study, based on 1,900 people, found that the higher the linoleic acid in your blood plasma, it was associated with lower levels of biomarkers for cardiometabolic risk, meaning heart disease, including those related to inflammation. Inflammation is, we go through things in history where trans fats, those are horrible. And it's this, right now it's seed oils. It really is. It's the new trans fat. It's the new buzzword of nowadays in the fitness world. And the thing that they tie to those has always been inflammation. Inflammation, inflammation, inflammation. It's what kills you. It's what gives you heart disease. It's what kicks in the diabetes. Inflammation in your body is bad. And they've always said, stay away from the seed oils. And now they're saying, no. The higher the level of the seed oils, the better you are at this. So, you know, I can't say this is the gospel. The new results are consistent with those from observational studies that have shown higher intake of the linoleic acid to be associated with the lower risk for type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular events such as heart attacks and strokes. What's true? I don't know. I can't tell you. I cannot tell you. One of these is correct, or maybe there's a truth somewhere in the middle. Maybe some of it. There's things, and I can't think of one off the top of my head because I'm not that bright. There are things that in small doses are healthy for you, then you take a large dose. Here's a perfect example. Nicotine, and we found this out mostly through COVID, people that were like big, heavy smokers weren't dropping dead from the COVID. And it ended up the nicotine was helping them. Not the smoke in their lungs and all the other crap that causes cancer. Not saying, I'm not trying to defend smoke. In fact, now people have gotten to for fitness to use nicotine, like little nicotine pouches that you put in your gum like a dip of Skoal, like chewing tobacco, and you in a little pouch and you put it in and it's nicotine and you get, you know, picked up from it. It's like caffeine or whatever. But they're finding that very small dose of nicotine is actually healthy for your body. Something we never knew. We were always like, nicotine is the devil. Nicotine kills people. Nicotine and cigarettes, it's highly addicting. It is addicting, but something to think about. So maybe seed oils are in that lane of something that some is good and then if you know, a lot is bad, there's a balance. I don't know. I can't tell you which one of those is real. But here's another thing I can tell you. This story is awesome. Keep telling you guys AI is really cool. And you should use AI for your workouts. And in fact, I'm going to give you a really good example of that here in a minute. But they are using AI. And I don't know how. But they're using an AI tool. And it sniffs earwax out of your ear. So you scrape out your ear, get some earwax, this tool sniffs it, it goes into this AI machine, and 94% accuracy, it can tell you if you're going to get Parkinson's or not. 94% accuracy in identifying those who had Parkinson's disease just by sniffing their earwax. Which, by the way, if AI can do that, I would bet a dog could do that. Their dogs are amazing. I've seen diabetes dogs. Dogs that know when you're about to have go into like a diabetic coma and crash out. And they'll alert you. Dogs can find cancer now. Like, it's insane what you can teach a dog to do. But AI is finding freaking Parkinson's disease by going through your earwax. Now, let's get out of the story of that altogether, and let's go to something I talked about last week where I said, hey, it's free. You can go to ChatGPT, Grok, any of the AIs, and you can, for free, and type in and say, hey, anything. Ask it anything. I used my Alexa a lot at home, but now I'm got the AI on my phone, and I talk to that. And I'll ask it about anything. And it's really good. And what I like about the AI, whereas Alexa would just kind of give you what you asked for, AI will give you follow-up questions about crap you probably didn't think of because the AI is way smarter than you. Imagine the AI's brain is the entire internet. Your brain is what you can remember, what you've learned or read or heard. And that's all you got. The AI's got unlimited. It's a billion times smarter than any of us. So I was doing that, and I wanted to practice what I preach. And I told you guys I need to get back into actually working out. So I decided to go to ChatGPT, which is right here on my computer. I did it right before I started the show. And I said, hey, I would like a upper body workout to gain both strength and size and strength. And know this about me. Gave my age, my weight. And I said, I recently had a full shoulder surgery where I had a rotator cuff completely torn in one spot, partially torn in other spots, and I also tore the tendon that held my bicep on my right arm. And I'm about 85% range of motion recovered since then. And I want to lift weights, and I injured myself lifting weights. So it said, you know, thanks for the info. It says, thank you for sharing your situation. Recovering from a rotator and bicep tendon surgery is no small thing. It's smart that you're looking to strengthen your upper body safely. Since you say you're about 85% mobility a year post-op, there's still progress that can be made, but injury prevention needs to be the top priority. And then, of course, disclaimer, first thing you need to do is consult your orthopedic surgeon or your physical therapist. I'm done with them. I'm out of them. I'm under my own care now, so I don't need to do that, but I see that as a word of caution. Prioritize scapular stability and rotator cuff strengthening. Smart. And those are resistance bands and cables, wall slides, face pulls with lightweights, external rotations with a band or a cable. Then it says limit overhead presses. That would be military bench press, overhead dumbbell press, anything like that with weight, as that's going to be right on that tendon, really pulling on it. And then it gives me a sample workout. It says day one, incline push-ups, which is something a lot of people can't do push-ups at all. I don't, honest God, I would never attempt one now. I don't know where, what would happen. And I weigh a lot, so it's a big push on my shoulders. But incline, I've already done incline push-ups. And think about that. So an incline push-up, if you don't know, is where you stand up against, like your desk is a great place because you put your hands on your desk and your feet on the ground and push it and do push-ups where your chest comes down to touch the desk and back up. It's a really good way, a countertop or a desk or something like that. So incline push-ups, cable chest fly, that means with a machine, not free weights, then band-assisted shoulder rotations, three sets of 15, lateral raises with very light dumbbells, palms down, thumbs up. It's a different grip. The grip also changes the way the tendon's engaged. Overhead tricep extensions, that's where you grab the weight and then walk away from the machine and then pull it from behind your head over your head till your arms are extended. That's another good one. And then it says what to avoid. Do not do the barbell bench press. That's bad. That's how I ripped it. Overhead military press. Dips are brutal on your shoulders. It says don't do those. Don't do pull-ups and any movement causing pinching, instability, or pain. And warm up thoroughly. Use slow, controlled tempo. But that's what I mean. This is a really good thing. Everything it said is great advice. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. And it gave me some things. So if you're looking or you have questions, it's embarrassing sometimes to ask people fitness questions. Use AI. It really is good. It's kicking ass. It really is. Rest of the weekend recap. I'm done with stories. I was out at the my friend's house. He was working on... He's the guy that does all the... He's like a radio engineer. And he was fixing and getting me set up to do... I'll be back very soon. I ordered most of this stuff on Amazon while when I was out there, but he got set up, he got software in my computer and updated and got a bunch of cool crap so that I am really about to come back as I was before the fire. So I'll have editing abilities and recording abilities that are way better than what I'm doing now. I've been on a Mickey Mouse rubber band setup for now. And it's worked, so shout out to it. My little HP computer's been working solid with a microphone and the most basic recording thing. The only problem is I can't do edits. This is a one-take show. I just bang it out. So that's coming very soon. I don't know when I'm going to get it set up. Hopefully I'll get back. We're not going out of town for the whole 4th of July weekend. We're going to go... we're not going to be gone much at all, but we'll be back. And hopefully when I get back, I will set all of that up next weekend. And so by the next podcast you hear, I should be on the new setup. And it was weird. I messed with it yesterday. It's still a learning curve. I got to get back in the groove. And the software is 5 years newer than the last one I had, the editing software. So I'll get it figured out. And I will be back again soon to the old time show. But I appreciate you guys for listening. Don't forget to go to spybird.com. Check out all the lovely shoes and use FIT10 at checkout. And then maybe in the checkout, if they had a comment section, you could be like, mean Spyro Lady Stretch is coming for you. He's going to win this challenge. Yeah. I'm going to win, going to win, going to win. Uh-huh. The only dancing I'm going to be doing is alone in my house by myself when no one's around. So I will talk to you guys next week for another episode of Fat to Fit or Else.